So we have come into his house to magnify his name and worship him. Oh, we have come into his house to magnify his name and worship him. We have come into his house to magnify his name and worship Christ our Lord. Oh, worship him, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Come on, we have come into his house. So we have come in, magnify his name. Come into his house to magnify his name and worship him. His house magnify his name and worship him. We have his house magnified his name and worship Christ our Lord. Oh, worship him, Jesus Christ our Lord. So forget about yourself, praise the Lord. Just let's forget about ourselves and concentrate on him and worship him. So let's forget about ourselves and concentrate on him and worship him. Let's forget about ourselves, concentrate on him and worship Christ our Lord. Oh, worship him, Jesus Christ our Lord. Let us lift up holy hands, hallelujah. So let us lift up holy hands, magnify his name and worship him. Lift up holy hands, lift up, magnify his name and worship him. Oh, let us lift up holy hands, magnify his name and worship Christ our Lord. Oh, worship him, Jesus Christ our Lord. Come on, let's praise him. Praise the Lord. Will you turn with me in your Bibles to Psalms 106? We'll read verses 1 to 12 this morning. Amen. The Psalms reads, "Praise ye the Lord. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can show forth all his praise? Blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times. Remember me, O Lord, with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation, that I may see the good of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, that I may glory with thine inheritance. We have sinned with our fathers, we have committed iniquity, we have done wickedly. Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power to be known. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up. So he led them through the depths as through the wilderness. And he saved them from all the hand of him that hated them, and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. And the waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. Then believed they his word. They sang his praise." Heavenly Father, with our whole hearts this morning, Lord God, we give praise to you for the mighty works that you did in the past. But Lord, for the mighty works that you're doing in our midst, Lord. Father, we're so grateful for your unmerited favor and love that rests upon each of us, Lord, because of your grace. Father, you were so mindful of your people that you came, Lord God, and paid our penalty upon the cross, Lord God. And now we are your inheritance, Lord. We are the people that you have chosen, Lord, for you have written our names in the Lamb's Book of Life. And now we stand this day before you justified because of the blood. Father, it was nothing that we did of ourselves, Lord, but it was all by your grace. Therefore, we rejoice and give praise to your name, Lord, for the mighty works, Lord, that you are doing in our midst. We ask that you continue to have your way. We ask that you bless and anoint this congregation of your children, and wherever our brothers and sisters are meeting this morning, be with each and every one of them. Encourage them in the battle, Lord God. Anoint them for your purpose, Lord. And may we turn this kingdom of Satan's upside down, Lord. Oh, Father, may we make him tremble, Lord, because of the mighty power that rests in us. And Father, we ask that you anoint Brother Gene this morning in a special way, Lord. Use your servant, Lord, to bring and break the bread of life to your children, Lord, that we all may be fed, Lord God, and be strengthened thereby. We love you, we praise you, and thank you for your grace and for you being in our midst. It's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. Let's give our God a hand clap of praise this morning. Amen. Let's sing this little song together. I am a friend of God. Who am I that you are mindful of me? That you hear me when I call? Is it true that you are thinking of me? How you love me, it's amazing, so amazing. Oh, I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He called me friend. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He called me. Let's sing that first verse again. Well, who am I that you are mindful of me? That you hear me when I call? Is it true that you are thinking of me? How you love me? It's amazing, so amazing. This morning. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God is God and God is good. Amen. Let's sing a little song. I'm going up yonder. Amen. We'll sing this little song together. I'm so glad he calls us friend. One day he's coming back to receive us unto himself. Amen. So we're going up yonder. If anybody asks you where I am going, oh, soon. And if you want to know where I am going, oh, my Lord. Oh, I'm going up yonder. I'm going up yonder. I'm going up yonder to be with my Lord. Well, I can take the pain, the heartaches they bring, comfort in knowing I'll soon be gone. As God gives me grace, I'll I'll run this race until I see my Savior face to face. Oh, I'm going up yonder. I'm going up yonder. I'm going up yonder to be with my Lord. Oh, I'm going up yonder. I'm going up yonder. I'm going up yonder to be with my Lord. Say, oh, I'm going in the rapture. I'm going in the rapture. I'm going in the rapture to be with my Lord. Oh, I'm going in the rapture. Oh, I'm going in the rapture. I'm going in the rapture to be with my Lord. Come on. Oh, I'm going in the rapture. Do you believe that? I'm going in the rapture. I'm going in the rapture to be with my Lord. Oh, I'm going in the rapture. I'm going in the rapture. I'm going in the rapture to be. One more time, I'm going up yonder. Say, oh, I'm going up yonder. I'm going up yonder. I'm going up yonder to be with my Lord. Oh, I'm going up yonder. I'm going up yonder. I'm going up yonder to be with my Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm pressing for that time. I know it's nigh at hand, saints. It won't be long. It won't be long. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. My. Amen. You may all have your seats. God bless you, saints. Praise the Lord. Brother Troy. Oh, yeah. Come on, my brother. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Glad when they said unto me, let us come into the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. How many is glad to be here this morning? Amen. Amen. You love the Lord. Amen. A little tired in my body, but amen. I'm sure God, he'll renew my strength. Amen. My wife is laid up, a little tired, and it was actually her turn to sing, so I'm singing for her. And I'm trying to see what the Lord wants me to sing. Amen. God has smiled on me. He has set me free. God has smiled on me. He's been good.
You got the book.
To me. Oh, God has smiled on me. He's been me free. Oh, God has smiled on me. He's been good to me. Oh, sing it one more time now. God has smiled on. Oh, he has me free. Oh, God has He's been to me. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Oh, I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Oh, that's because God has smiled. He has set me free. Just as I was weary, wounded, and sad. But I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. That's why I can sing this morning. God has truly He smiled on me free. Oh, God has smiled on me. He's I believe I say it one more time. I came to Jesus just as I was weary, wounded, and sad. Oh, but I found in him a resting place, and He has made me glad. Oh, that's why I sing. Oh, God has smiled on me. He set me free. He set me free. Oh, hallelujah. He's been good. He's been mighty, mighty good. He's been good to me. When I was lost in sin, no way to turn. He's been mighty good. He's been mighty, mighty, mighty good. He's been mighty, mighty, mighty good. Church, He woke me up this morning, started me on my way,
clothed me in my right mind. He's been good. He's been good. He's been good. Mighty, mighty, mighty good. Oh, he's been good to me.
Amen. Do you believe that this morning? Has God been good to you? Oh, praise the Lord. God bless you, Brother Troy. Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Sister Sarah, will you come this morning? Amen. God has been good. Amen.
Spoke a word, you were singing over me. You've been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life for me. You have been so, so kind to me. And oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. And I couldn't earn it, and I don't deserve it. Still, you give yourself away. And oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Yeah. When I was your foe, still your love fought for me. You have been so, so good to me. When I felt no worth, you paid it all for me. Have been so, so kind to me. And oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. And oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. And I couldn't earn, and I don't deserve it. Still, you give yourself away. And all the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Yeah. shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, by you won't tear it out, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, light you won't tear down, coming after me.
Praise the Lord. What a matchless love. Amen. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Amen. Aren't you glad that God has smiled on you? He's been so, so good to you. Praise the Lord. God worked that out just right. Put that song on Brother Troy's heart and led right into what Sister Sarah was singing. Sometimes you got to catch what God is trying to tell you. Amen. He's been good to us all. And that's a channel we must abide in. That's when you really can praise God, when you recognize what he's done for you. While you was his foe, he came and died for you. What grace, what love, what matchless love. Amen. No greater love, no greater love. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. We have a visitor this morning. Brother Kweku. God bless you, my brother. It's good to have you in the house of the Lord. Amen. Brother Josue was telling me a little testimony of how he got here this morning. He and Sister Amanda were going to the same school, I believe. And Brother Kweku looked at her, walked up to her, said, "Who's your prophet?" She said, "Brother Brad." Well, he's here this morning. God bless you. It's good to have another saint of Almighty God in the house of the Lord. Amen. God works in mysterious ways. Amen. The Holy Ghost recognizes the Holy Ghost. Amen. You can recognize a son or daughter of God when you see him. God bless you. It's good to have you in the house of the Lord. Amen. It's good to see you, Sister Gabold. God bless you both. Amen. Amen. We have an announcement. There'll be Brothers Prayer Tuesday at 7:30. And we will not have service Friday night. Also, the youth service this Saturday, September 15th, will be at 7 o'clock, so we all want to be prepared for that. Praise the Lord. Amen. There aren't any written prayer requests. I go to the doctor Tuesday to have an MRI on my left shoulder. Something's going wrong in there, and we're going to find out what it is. I also go back Tuesday morning for more blood work. They told me that I'm borderline diabetic, which is a lie. Also, they said something about a hyperthyroid that messes with my vocal cords, but that's a lie as well. Praise the Lord. So they won't find anything. Amen. So I just ask that you remember me. Amen. And remember one another at all times. Pray for Brother Gene as he brings a message this morning. Pray for our pastor and pray for all of our ministering brothers. Amen. The enemy is always going after them. If he can affect the man of God, he can affect the congregation. Amen. So we want to pray for one another and pray for all of our ministering brothers. Amen. Will you stand to your feet? And we're going to ask the brothers to come at this time. We'll take up this morning's tithing and offering.
Let's bow our heads, saints. Heavenly Father, we bow our hearts to you this morning, Father, to give you thanks, Father God, to ask you, Father God, to bless this offering and this tithing that we're about to offer you, Father, back to you from what you've gave to us, Father. We just want to let you know how grateful we are, Father God, and how much we appreciate everything that you've done for us, Father God. Bless these offerings and this tithing, Father God, and the rest of the service, and we ask you these things in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Give him thanks. Hallelujah. And in the bad time, do the same. In everything, give the King of Kings all the thanks. Come on, let's sing it again. In everything.
Let's praise them together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. praise the Lord.
Do the same, Lord, in everything. Give the King of Kings all the thanks in the good times. Hallelujah. Good times, praise his name, and in the bad times, oh, do the same in everything. Give the King of Kings all the thanks.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. You may have your seats. We have one more special this morning.
God bless you.
Broken down and dirty, shattered heart that's broken, fear and doubt rushing to flood my mind. There's no hope of winning and no way of returning to the God that I have left behind. But through the darkness comes a whisper that shouts to my bleeding heart, I am the God of another chance. No matter the circumstance, I won't forsake you, and I can heal your infirmities and purge your iniquities if you'll just come to me. This weight that I carry has become too heavy for me to keep bearing it alone. But you point to Calvary and you tell me it's my victory and that I don't have to do this on my own. And through the silence comes your voice that screams out once again, I am the God of another chance. No matter the circumstance, I won't forsake you, and I can There's no more guilt. There's only grace. And when temptation comes my way, your mercy says that it's
Man, I don't know about you, but thus far, all I've heard was grace. All I heard was grace. There's nothing that we've done on our own. It's once again His matchless love. There's not a song that went forth this morning that wasn't about grace and the love of God in our lives. Amen. Aren't you glad? Because He lives, we can face tomorrow. Amen. We're going to invite Brother Gene at this time. Will you stand to your feet and let's sing that little chorus together as Brother Gene comes. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives.
And life is just because he lives. Amen. Is he alive in your heart this morning? Amen. Let's just bow our hearts as they continue to play that softly. Let's go before the throne. Heavenly Father, we count it a privilege that we could be here this morning. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for the word of the hour, a word that's so precious and near to us, dear God. It is this word that has called us, dear Lord, out of the muck and the filth that we were in, dear God. And Father, it was not us who chose you, it was you who chose us. And for that, dear Lord, we're so grateful. How amazing such grace is upon us, dear Lord. And Father, there's a lot of uncertainty for tomorrow. But because you live, we can face it, dear Lord. Father, we thank you for your blessings that you've bestowed upon us. And as we approach thy word, Father, I pray that you just flip back the pages of the Bible, dear Lord, and open up your word to us, dear God. May the Lamb of God descend upon this little assembly, dear God, and break bread with us this morning. Feed our hungry hearts. We'll be careful to give you the praise that you alone are worthy of. And the little bride says, amen. God bless you, saints. Certainly good to be back in the house of the Lord. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. John chapter 1, say amen once you're there. I heard 1, 2. I heard 3, 4. Amen, you're there? All right. It's good to be in the house of the Lord, ain't it? No better place you'd rather be. Amen. So John chapter 1, verse 45, it reads, Philip finds Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Amen. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. You may be seated. Amen. Just for a little while, I'd like to minister on a thought on anything good. Anything good. So bear with me as I kind of lay a foundation. You know, just to kind of start it off here. You know, you find where Philip finds Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found of him whom we've been looking for. And Moses spoke about him, and the prophets spoke about him. And surely this is Jesus of Nazareth. So we know, so they had to have had some sort of an understanding of what to look for. And so by studying the scripture of the Old Testament, you know, Philip, you know, had an understanding of what to look for. So when, you know, when Jesus came forth, he could say, you know, this is what Moses spoke about. This is what the prophets spoke about. And so he goes to Nathanael and he tells him, we have found him. And you could just imagine the joy that overwhelmed Philip when he told Nathanael this. And Nathanael's response was, well, let me ask you, is there anything good that could come out of Nazareth? So, you know, Nazareth carried a reputation. But, you know, my declaration to you this morning is that we're not a product of our environment. We're a product of the Word. It's the Word that has shaped us. It's the word that has molded us. It's the word that has made you who you are. And it's so interesting because even as Nathanael responded to Philip's testimony, Jesus was already seeing the interaction. And he was already keeping an eye on things. He had a vision where he saw this. And so when Nathanael came to Jesus and he had that brief moment of interaction, and he was impressed with the fact that, you know, Jesus had that vision that where he saw him under the fig tree. He says, if you're impressed with this, hang on tight. There's a lot more that you're going to be impressed with. Because that's nothing. I'm capable of more than just me seeing you in a vision. And so it just, you know, it's just remarkable because it amplifies the value that you hold before God. Brother Branham illustrates this story. He says, you know, and I might have shared this before. He talks about this auctioneer where, you know, they were auctioning off these, things. And so they came and they saw this violin that was kind of there. And this violin was really, you know, it was kind of, you know, not really look its best. It just didn't have this appeal, attraction to it. It wasn't appealing. And so the auctioneer looks at the violin and he says, you know, what do you guys want for this? And, you know, somebody cries out 50 cents and somebody else cries out $1. You know, it didn't appeal. It didn't appear like it was much worth of anything. And so someone in the back crowd just kind of, you know, wade his way through the crowd and kind of says, excuse me, pardon me. And he gets there. And the prophet illustrates that he grabs his violin. He blows the dust off of the violin. He rosins the bow real quickly. And he begins to play such a sweet melody. There was not one dry eye in the midst of the audience. And so the auctioneer, after he probably wiped his tears, he took a step back. He says, you know, what do we want to offer for it now? And no sooner than when he could finish, the first crowd says $1,000. Someone says $2,000. Someone says $3,000. And the prophet says, what changed? It's still the same violin, but in the hands of the master. It revealed its true character. It revealed its true nature. Let me tell you, you were probably somebody that was a nobody in the world, but in the hands of Almighty God, you are revealing God's true character. You're revealing God's true nature. You're not just somebody, but you're the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you find that it's the character. It's your makeup. It's who you are. It's what God's pulled out of you. You know, you look at Abram. His background was not conducive to being what you would call the father of faith. You know, the way Brother Branham illustrates it, and in Genesis, in the message, the unconditional covenant, he says, we find a man by the name of Abram. He says his father's name, I believe, was Haran, that came down probably from Babylon. So his dad came from Babylon, an idol worshiper. That's his genealogy. That's his family's tree. They were idol worshipers. It came down in the valleys of Shinar, dwelt in the land of Chaldea in the city of Ur. He was married to his half-sister Sarah, and as they came down in this land and all the people there was, Abraham, now listen to this. He says, Abraham wasn't any better than anyone else. Abraham was not better than anyone else, but God, by sovereign grace and election, called Abraham according to election. Let me tell you, you're not sitting here by accident. Grace has found favor with you. God sought you out. Even when you weren't looking for God, he was looking for you. It doesn't mean that you're better than somebody else. It's just that God found favor with you. That's the reason why I can't judge my brother. I can't judge my sister. I may not be at the level you may be at, but just wait on me. Because he who started a good work in me will finish it. You can't make it to a rapture without me being there. The only reason why you know a rapture hasn't happened yet is because you're still around. You got to have that level of confidence. You have to have that level of faith. When you get up in the morning and you look at the mirror and say, I know a rapture didn't happen because I'm still here. I am part of God's program. I am important to the kingdom of God. I am somebody before the eyes of God. The world may not think of much of me, but I am somebody before God. This is well beyond your family tree. You might say, Brother Gene, you don't know my upbringing. I don't need to know that. You don't know my background. I'm not worried about that. I'm looking at the promise that God has given to you and the direction that you're going. You know, coming to church should be more than just fulfilling a religious obligation. It's your declaration to the devil and a statement whose side you're on. When you come to church, you tell the devil you were not victorious that week. You did not defeat me Monday through Friday. You did not stop me Monday through Saturday. I'm able to come back to church because by God's grace, every trial, every tribulation, everything you throw at me, I'm here to tell you, devil, it's gonna take much more to stop me from coming to the house of God. People may not know what you went through this week. They may not know what you faced this week. They may not know your challenges. But God knows. Abram, his background, his family history, what his dad was. And he goes on, no, nothing said that Abram was any better. Don't even say he was a believer in the beginning. God just called him. Didn't even say he was a believer in the beginning. You may not know, you just heard a message. You may not know the background of a prophet, but this message gripped you. And it was more than just a man preaching a sermon. But you heard the voice of God. And that gripped you. That got a hold of you. And then from there was a seed that was there. And you begin to mature. You know, I go back to the very beginning where the Bible talks about that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And I like this passage of scripture because there's so many depths and meaning. So in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth, the Bible says, was without form and void. That was the condition of the earth. Something happened between verse 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the prophet says between verse 1 and verse 2 could have been millions and millions and millions and millions of years. We don't know. But something happened in the between where this earth that God had created, that God loved, that God cherished, it was his creation. And so, therefore, as he oversaw his creation, the Bible says that this earth, now you got to picture yourself in this, this earth was without form and void. It was missing something. It lacked life. There was no form of godliness about this earth. It was void of God. And the Bible goes on to say, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And so this earth, this terrestrial ball that we reside in was shrouded in darkness. It was without form. It was void. There was something about this earth. And as the prophet illustrates it, it moved away from the presence, from the warm presence of light. And so this earth, as it would appear, was an outcast. But you know what's remarkable about verse 2? The Bible goes on to say, in the Spirit of God, in the midst of all this dead explanation, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So this earth that was in a dead state, one would ask, could anything good come out of it? When you were out in the world and you had a foul language, could anything good come out of that? When you dressed in idolatry, can anything good come out of that? When you ran with the wrong crowd, when you engaged in the wrong activity, when you did all these things wrong, people looked at you and said, can anything good come out of this earth? Is there any hope? Is there any salvation? Is there any opportunity for you? But the Bible also says the Spirit of God was watching over his creation. Because God had invested in his creation, and so he cannot lose on his investment. You're not in control of your own destiny. It may appear that way. God is watching your footsteps. And when God saw this earth that had moved away from his presence, God loved his creation. And so, as it were, the natural man's thinking, we would cast that person out and says, there's no hope for that individual. But then when God comes on the scene, the Bible begins to say, as God is creating this earth, he says, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. Now, I want you to understand the vocabulary of Scripture. God said, let there be light. He was not asking for permission. He was not seeking counsel. He was not asking for an advice. Let me tell you, God was looking at his creation. And he looked directly into the heart of that creation and said, let there be. There was not enough devils that could stop God's words from coming to pass. Let there be light. And the Bible says immediately within the same breath, there was light. That's God looking in your direction. Because the Bible says we were born in sin, shapen in iniquity. We came into this world speaking lies. No one taught us that. We just knew that we had to cover our tracks when we did something wrong. When we said something wrong, we had to kind of find an explanation for it. When we did something wrong, we broke something. I remember sweeping things under the bedroom. I remember sweeping things under the rug. I remember sweeping things just trying to hide things so I wouldn't get in trouble. I remember lying and saying it was my brother. And the evidence is all around me. But then God looks at your soul. Now, the Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And I want you to understand what that means. When he was on the cross, and he cried out, Abba, Father. And the Bible says, he says, it is finished. Let me tell you, he did not just speak those words for that moment in time. But he looked down into the corridors of time and saw you were born in the year that you were born. He saw every sin you committed. He saw every conversation you had. He saw everything that you've done wrong. And that word hung over you. It is finished. When you weren't even thinking about God, he was thinking about you. That's why I could tell you, saints, you being here this morning, you're no accident of God. God purposely called you. He said, Brother Gene, I've had some battles. Well, just get back up and fight. Brother Gene, I've fallen a couple of times. Just get back up. It doesn't change God's opinions about you. Your faults, your failures, your shortcomings, just lay it at the feet of the altar. You come back and you make it right. Say, Lord, you know the integrity of my heart. You know the honesty of my heart. God has a ways of bringing everything back into order. Can anything good come out of this earth? And God said, let there be light. And there was light. You talk about the maniac of Gadara. And I think we might have mentioned this before. Where this man, he was possessed with devils. And here you find where Jesus was preaching to a multitude. And he heard the cry of a man, of one single man, that was possessed with demons. And so he spun around and he says, we need to go to the other side. And as he made his journey to go to the other side, there was an attempt by a legion of devils that would try to drown the effects of the word. That's the word trying to reach its destination. But when God has purposed himself to come to you, nothing can stop that journey from happening. It's just like, if I could deviate real quickly, it's just like when Daniel began to pray. And he says, Lord, you know, what is the estate of Israel? And he begins to call upon the name of God. And the Bible, if memory serves me well, the Bible says in Daniel, where 27 days later or so, you know, the angel Gabriel comes to Daniel and say, Daniel, from the very first day that you have started to pray, God heard your prayers. He said, Brother Gene, I've been praying about such and such. I've been praying about such and such. It's been so many days, so many weeks, so many months. But the Bible says the first day that you've inclined your ears to pray unto God, God heard your prayers. Sometimes it just takes a little patience. Sometimes it takes a little battle. Sometimes it takes a little beating. So that way you can appreciate when that prayer comes to materialize. Because if God just gave you everything that you wanted, how could you ever appreciate the patience? Appreciate the troubles, appreciate the tribulations, the journey, the challenge. It's no different when you work so hard for something. You've labored, you've saved, you finally obtain it. There's an appreciation because it came with sweat. Your knees hurt a little bit. Your back aches a little bit. But you know when you receive the blessing, it was well worth it. So the maniac of Gadara, he was left alone in the tombs. And Jesus made his way to go preach to that one soul. Many people passed him by. Many people didn't have anything to say to him. But you know, I don't throw people out, because you just never know who God has called. You never know who God has chosen. I could imagine back in the day, God told Moses, Moses, go and strike the rock. Moses did that and struck the rock. Water came out. People still won't satisfy. Moses, go and speak to the rock. Everybody watching Moses. Moses gets up there, anger all filled up. He had a temper problem, you know. He strikes the rock. Can you just imagine the reaction the assembly must have had to see the temper of Moses get the better part of him? Some of them probably said, you know what? I heard God told Moses, go speak to the rock. He ain't set no example for us. Striking the rock, having an attitude. And not only that, to make matters worse, Moses didn't even make it to the promised land. Can you just imagine the people that were gossiping? They said, boy, that was some good gossip. You heard Moses died. He didn't make it to the promised land. Can you just imagine all the whispers? But, you know, you don't know when a person's going through something, how God is dealing with them behind the scenes. You might see the outward struggles, but you don't know the inward prayer. You might see the outward falls, but you never see when they rise up. You might see their fallacies, but God sees their integrity. You don't know what's happening behind the scenes. You may cast your judgment because of what you see on the outside, but you don't know what God is dealing with on the inside. Let's fast forward to Matthew chapter 17. Jesus wanted to give an example of the type of people that's going to be at his side. So naturally, who comes up? Elijah comes walking up right next to Jesus. And perhaps to everyone's amazement, the second person who comes up, standing right next to Jesus, the one that people thought didn't make it to the promised land, the one who thought that he wouldn't have a position next to Jesus, Moses come walking and standing right next to Jesus. You can't tell me that heaven's not going to be full of surprises. The very person that you're putting into heaven might be the one that you don't know that might be backslidden in the heart. And the one that you've already put out, that's who God is saying. There's a crown and a throne that awaits for you. Can anything good come out of this age, this generation? You love the Lord. Jesus gets to the maniac of Gadara. He preaches a sermon, casts out those devils. Someone looks at him. No one wants to be around him. He was just a mess. But God goes to people who's exactly in that condition. That's a mess. It's easy when we're talking to one another and saying, God bless you. Well, it's easy when we're in the comfort of our seats and saying, praise the Lord. But have that same conversation with your neighbor. Have that same conversation with someone at work. You got to be a beacon of light no matter where you go. Your actions, your behavior, your conduct. You laugh at one dirty joke. You don't have to say anything. Just laugh and you've condoned it. You just told the devil it's okay. Let me tell you, we're living in an age where it's not easy to be popular. You may not always be liked. But as long as you are carrying the banner of God's word, you got to take a position. And you'll be forced to take a position. It's creeping into the jobs. As an example of that, I know in Orlando came close to us when the Pulse nightclub got the victims that died. We don't condone violence, and we actually had one coworker that was actually impacted by that, didn't lose their life, but was injured in the process. And so naturally, corporate America wants to rally behind. Think about it. This is your job. This is your income. This is how you take care of your family. Whatever position you hold. And so the devil comes and he says, you know, I want you to carry a certain bracelet in your hand to show that you're unified. Don't get quiet on me now, saints. I don't agree with violence, but I'm not going to condone that lifestyle. I'm a son of God. I got to make a declaration of who I am, even though it's not popular.
It may cost me a promotion. It may cost me an opportunity to grow, but I'd rather grow in Jesus Christ than grow in favor with man. These spirits are infiltrating the jobs. They're infiltrating the homes. They're infiltrating the society. You got to take a position. It's much more than you coming to church and saying amen. You got to go out there and make a statement. And you know how hard it is, especially when you're a member of leadership. They're looking to you as an example. How are you going to explain it? What are you going to say? Knowing what you believe. They don't know what's happening, but these are spiritual warfare. The devil that's testing you on his ground. But as long as you're fortified behind God's words, you have to make those unpopular decisions. And the devil is really slick. He'll pass out the bracelets. He'll make sure that you're in the company of people to see what you do. Hey, Gene, here you go. We appreciate you. Y'all reflecting. The devil knows what he's doing. And when you guys say no thank you, but I'm going to keep them in prayer. You're using language they're not used to. I say it's a shame what happened to those folks. But that doesn't change what I believe. The devil is slowly creeping in. And he's getting us to a position where we got to compromise. I don't agree with violence. We're seeing more of it. But I know in the God that I serve. Got to take a position. Got to take a stand. And know whose side you're on. You stand for God. And he'll stand for you. You love the Lord? Jesus said, and why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. And then Brother Brown picks up the thought. He says, just like a lily, whereas a lily, I think, is one of the most prettiest flowers there is. I'm very fond of those great calla lilies and pond lilies. I think there's nothing hardly as pretty as a great big pond lily. Call it water lily. How its radiance and where does it come from? It's a little seed down in the bottom of a muddy, mucky pond. So there was a seed that was laying down when you were out there living a vulgar life. But remember, God said, let there be light. The power of light is so effective that no matter where you plant a seed, it's amazing how you can see a plant begins to come out from underneath concrete. Because it's just the power of nature that's calling the very life to present itself. So even though you may be fighting against God, God cannot lose you in the process. He says that little seed down in the bottom of the muddy, mucky pond, and that little seed yet with all the radiance that'll ever shine in it, is right then when it's in that mud. But it has to strive daily, knowing that there is something. It's black, it's dirty, it's mucky, it's slimy in that slime that it's living in, yet it presses its way through the mud, the muck, and the waters and the stagnant places until it sticks its head above the light and expresses what's been hid in all of it all the time. Every day you get up, it's a battle.
You got to fight every time you get up. Every breath that you breathe, there's a battle. It was a battle for you to come to church. You know, sometimes the devil, you know, he'll give you battles throughout the course of the week. He'll make it challenging. But it's just odd, like every time before church service, he seems to ratchet it up a little bit. You know, I'll get up in the morning, I struggle, you know, just try and get up to go to work. But I find it extra hard that Sunday morning. That bed seems that much more comfortable. The alarm clock is not as loud as it is during the week. And you hit the snooze button a couple more times. You might have gone along with your wife. You might have gone along with your husband. You might have gone along with the kids throughout the course of the week. But Sunday morning, it's warfare. And it seems like you're always racing because it's a battle. And you're off to a late start, perhaps. And then you seem like you hit every red light. And you're tapping the steering wheel and you're tapping the gas, just hoping that the light goes faster and turns. And you come across who cuts you off on the way to church. And I said this last time. Let's hope that they're not going to the same service you're going to. Because that happened to me before. Cut me off. I was so upset they were going to the same church service I was going to. Didn't recognize the car. Had I known it was, well, that's a different story. Because you tend to behave differently. You are stirred up in your spirit. You come to church, you're frustrated. You're in chaos. You're arguing. You just don't have the right frame of mind. And then you're expecting the song leader to sing you happy. How do we change that? It's like this one brother that told this story. Maybe some of you heard it before, but I thought it was a little humorous. He says a husband and his wife got into an argument, and they were arguing all the way to church. They make it to church. The husband gets up there, and he's singing. He's shouting. He's praising God. Wife looked at him thinking to herself, this man is a hypocrite. Shouting, singing, saying amen. After church, the wife looked at the husband and says, how could you do that? You knew that we were arguing that morning. You knew that we were shouting. And you're going to come to church. You're going to act the way you are. And the husband looked at the wife and says, I was upset with you, but I wasn't upset with God. You got to put things in perspective. When you walk through those doors, let the world be, but I'm going to come and give God my best. I'm going to sing. I'm going to shout. I'm going to praise him. The Bible says that everything that have breath call upon the name of the Lord. Sometimes I don't feel like it, but I'm going to sing anyhow. You got to encourage. The Bible says David, when he was low in spirit, he encouraged himself. He encouraged himself. Sometimes the deacon may not be there to encourage you. The pastor may not be there to encourage you. But there's a word of God. There's a scripture that you can find encouragement from. Praise the Lord. Yeah, you might say, Brother Gene, you get so excited about the word. I mean, that heaven consists of the word. If you can't get excited about God's words, then you're going to be in a world of trouble when you get to the other side. He says, I think that's an overcomer that once in sin did things that was wrong. Don't worry about it now. Once did things that was wrong. Now, why look back into that pond again? He says, by his predestination, he brought this seed to life and expressing itself, coming to life. And now on top of all that, it has overcome. See, it doesn't express itself down there, it's getting up to expressing itself. So while it was in the muck, while it was in the mud, while it was all in that darkness, it couldn't express itself.
But that seed, when you hold up a seed, it holds all the potential of what it's going to be. And the moment that you cast light upon that, everything that's in that seed begins to present itself. And so he says, so it doesn't express itself down there. It's getting up to express itself. Neither did you in your sin and adultery and everything that you lived in. You didn't express nothing, but there was a seed in there. And it got a chance to press itself into life. And now you're in the presence of Jesus Christ with the sunlight. It brought out what you really was in the beginning. So if we go back to Genesis, where the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. The seeds were already in the earth. God didn't just put the seed. The seeds were already there. And so because the seeds were already there, there was darkness that covered the earth. So when you were born, there was a seed of God already implanted within you. The potential to become sons and daughters of God was already in you. But there was a dark veil of sin, iniquity, that shrouded you because you were part of the human fall. So therefore, you behaved the way you behaved. You acted the way you acted. You conducted yourself the way you conducted yourself. But the seed of God, God had an obligation to watch over that seed. And so when he says, let there be light, the seed was already there. So the darkness, he was just telling the darkness to dissipate, to move away, so that way the seed that's on the inside could be seen by the light. And so the prophet says, it's the type of a human being. It's the type of the believer. So when God says, let there be light, he was looking at the seed that was already inside of you. You couldn't have drifted too far away. You know, it's mind-blowing to me. There are literally thousands of religion, thousands of denominations, thousands of faiths, thousands of beliefs, 7 billion people on planet Earth. You go to India, they got more religion per capita. They got all these gods, and yet the Lord himself bypassed billions of people. Bypass institutions, bypass denominations, bypass palaces, bypass kingdoms, and came down to you and found favor with you. Your parents you may have had a rough upbringing, but God still sought favor with you. The Bible says he came to the lost sheep of Israel. So God is very purposeful in his actions. Came looking specifically for an individual. When Adam fell, he didn't say, hey, where are you? He says, Adam, where art thou? He called him by name. When Lazarus died and Jesus came to the scene, he didn't say, hey, rise. He said, Lazarus, rise. When Abram was called Abram, God says, I'm going to call you Abraham. He knows you by name. You're not just somebody that's lost in a sea of people. But God has an obligation to look at that seed on the inside. And you're responding to that word. Your actions, your behavior, your conduct, you're responding to that word. That seed is materializing. You say, Brother Gene, I have faults, I have failures, I have opportunity. That's okay. Because the Bible says, he that has begun a good work in you will finish it. couple more scriptures and I'm going to let you go. The Bible says this in Isaiah, "But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou art the potter. And we are all the work of thy hand." And in Jeremiah, the Bible says, "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay, was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel as seemed good to the potter to make it." Now, growing up, I went to an art school and I did different forms of art. And one of the things that we did was actually make pottery. And the way it works, for any of you that may not have done this, we take a lump of clay. And that clay has no form. It's not even attractive. There's nothing appealing about it. It's just a lump of clay. So we had this turning wheel. And at that time, you could actually move it like this, and it spins the wheel around. Now that technology, I wish they had that when I was growing up. You could just press a pedal and the wheel spins. But in any event, you take this lump of clay. It had no form. And so the key thing about it is that you, as the potter, were in control over the clay. And God is using this same analogy. So when I selected that clay, that was grace. Because of all the rest of them, I said, this is the chunk I want to work with. This is the chunk that's gonna become something of magnificent, a masterpiece. So I made a decision, a conscious decision, that I'm gonna work with this piece of clay. But this clay, it can't be hard, it can't be solid. It has to be a way where it can be soft and where you could mold it. And if it's not exactly where I need it to be, I got to beat into it a little bit. So I took this chunk of clay and I put it on the wheel. But I just can't put it on any part of the wheel. I have to put it dead in the center. Your position in Christ is important. You cannot take the song leader's position. You cannot take the preacher's position. You cannot take the deacon's position. If all God called you to do is to sit down and to say amen, then you're in your position. You're more effective when you're in your position. When Abraham was outside of his position, when Abraham was in his position, he didn't fear any king. He was able to defeat 5 kings when he was in his position. But when Abraham was outside of his position, he was afraid of 1 king. You're more effective when you're in your position. I took this chunk of clay. I put it dead in the center. It had no appealing to it. I examined this piece of clay, and in my mind, I know what it's going to be. But for everyone else, it didn't look like nothing. But God knows where you're going to be. He sees the end from the beginning. From when you were drinking your beer, drinking your alcohol, smoking your cigarettes, and smoking God knows what else, he saw your end from your beginning. Stay together. I put the clay on here. Then I started to spin the wheel. Can you just imagine that clay? It's spinning around, but it has to be centered. And I could only imagine that how your life must have been a whirlwind. Where you didn't know whether you were coming or going. You were going through periods of emotions. You were happy, you were sad. You were victorious, you were defeated. You were going through all kinds of something. But God got you right where he wants you. He's holding you in his possession. But the world is spinning all around you, and you can't make heads or tails about what's going on. But you're in that potter's wheel. And God begins to work with you. So what I had to do, I had to get the clay where it could be molded. So I had a bucket of water that I need to sprinkle. I need to sprinkle some grace upon it. I had to soften the hardened hearts. It wouldn't cave, so I had to baptize it with water a little bit. I'm not going to give up on this thing. I'm going to work with it. And God's gentle hand. So and when you're doing the pottery, you had to really have a good grip, because the wheel was moving. And I'm here's the thing. I got my hand on the base, and then I also got my hand on the top. I'm covering this piece of clay from top to bottom. Every inch of this clay, my hand is possessing it. It was rough around the edges. When that wheel was spinning, it was really rough. It wanted to move off center. It wanted to come out of its position. But as the potter, I had to bring it back into position. Oh, it made it difficult, but I'm going to move it back into position. And Satan, in God's Eden, it was a serpent that whispered something into Eve that took her out of position. In this Satan's Eden, it was a prophet's message that whispered something into your ears that's moving you back into position. That wheel is spinning. Even as that wheel's spinning, the potter has to continue to pour water so it's moldable. And little by little, the pottery begins to take form. It starts to kind of shape up a little bit as it's spinning. And then I'm taking water, and I'm taking a little bit of that water. Then I begin to work with the tool. We could call it the Word of God. And so I started to scrape excess clay that just didn't belong there. I was forming this vessel. And my whole focus, my whole attitude was on this clay. So I started to take this tool. I forget what you call it now. But this tool where I'm just, as it's spinning, the world, it's spinning around trying to make sense of what's going on. And I'm taking this shaving tool and I'm just shaving the outside as it's spinning. And it's beginning to take form a little bit. And that's what God was doing all along. Your world is spinning around, trying to make sense. And God says, I got you right where I want you. Taking out excess unbelief. Taking out doubt. Taking out disbelief. And God's just molding you into his image. The potter and that clay is such an intimate exercise where that potter is concentrating all his focus upon that clay. And it has to be, and the more it begins to take form, the more it begins to be centered, the more you start taking form, the more you take your position. That's why when God went looking for Adam, he says, Adam, where art thou? He knew where Adam was. It was not a question of geography. He knew where he was, but he was just not in his position. It's like, Adam, where are you at? You're supposed to be in church. You're supposed to be in fellowship. Where are you at? You're not in your position. Some people could be sitting in church right now and not in their position. And yet God is looking at you and says, where art thou? Have you ever talked to somebody, they're looking at you, but they're not listening to you? They're just nodding in agreement, like, yeah, yeah, yeah. But you know they ain't paying attention. You should ask them, just say, what'd I just say? Catch them off guard. What'd I just say? Their eyes get bigger, like, well, you were talking about something. See, you weren't paying attention. There's a difference between watching, hearing, and listening.
The Bible says, blessed are you who have ears and can hear. Because there's a lot of people that got ears and aren't even listening. They have eyes, but they can't see. So the powder begins to work with it. And then what happens is that as it begins to spin, you begin to create this form, and then you kind of go inside. And you take your fist and you kind of ball it a little bit. And then you just slowly begin to work on the inside because you're making the inside of that vessel. And so you got to pour a little bit more water, use the shaving tool to kind of shave a little bit of the excess, and then it begins to take form. And then you keep spinning, that wheel keeps spinning, and then it begins to get form. And because it's in the hands of the potter, it begins to yield itself to the potter over time. At first it was difficult, but then as the potter works with that clay, and you know the beauty behind it is, when I begin to work with the clay, I'm making pottery. If it didn't look like what I wanted it, I'd destroy the whole thing. Because I'm not happy. But I'm not giving up on this clay. I don't go get another clay. I use the same one. Because I made the decision to use this clay. Saints, I'm talking about you. When your life's in complete shambles, when it's a complete mess, God is not giving up on you. He says, you're not the image that I foresee. We're going to go at this again. But you're going to look exactly like the image I have of you. That is God's grace to you and I. Takes that clay, clumps it down, says, man, I messed up. Clumps it down, says, we're going to start again. Go through the same process again. Put water, try to center it, and begin to work with it. Taking your time, little by little. As the wheel's moving, the clay begins to rise up a little bit. So you're holding the outside to kind of keep its form. And then on the inside, you're working on the inside to take out the excess so that way it could have the outer walls. And you begin to work with it. And then you know what happens? As the pottery begins to take shape, the wheel doesn't need to go as fast anymore. It starts to slow down because you want to be careful. It's matured now. It's gone through the process. It understands. It yields itself to God. It's so sensitive to the touch of God. It's so sensitive to the touch of the potter's hand. So you watch it and you slow down the wheel. And the way I would do it, I just slow it down a little bit, making sure that it takes its form. And it's looking exactly as I envision it. I don't need to take out as many excess because it's grown. Like Paul says, when I was a child, I spake like a child. I talked like a child. I thought like a child. But as I grew up, I put childish things away. And so that clay begins to look exactly like the image I have. But it's not done yet. It now begins to look like that very image. So you know what we do? We let the clay sit there a little bit. That's what Brother Ram says about that seed. It needs to bask in the sun. Ripen underneath the sun a little bit. So we let that pottery just sit there. We let it dry a little bit. And then we take that pottery. We put it in a fiery furnace. Because it could handle the heat. It could handle the heat. Put it in that fiery furnace, bring it out. And this is the way we used to do it, bring it out. You decorate it, color it, paint it. We put a certain gloss over it. We put it back in the trial. Oh, it's a trial, saints. God takes you out. He looks at you. He's like, all right,
go back at it again. And then when we get that end product, and this was, in high school, when we got that end product, and for the first time we did this and we saw that pottery when it came out, after it's gone through the trial, and you look at it, you're just so marveled at that artwork that you've done and how it looks. I was just beside myself. I'm like, this is me as a human thing. I'm like, I did this? I could probably sell this and make good money. It was gorgeous. The colors just like radiated. It was like, it had a glossy look to it. It was phenomenal. And as I matured in my ministry, I started thinking, when God looks at you, he's saying, this is my creation. She's the apple of my eyes. She reflects me. I created this. This is my doing. That's the reason why the Bible says you're wonderfully and marvelously made. Don't let no one take that away from you. Don't let the devil take that away from you. Every time you get up in the morning, you look at yourself in the mirror, you say, I'm a child of God. Whether you feel like it or not, you say, I'm a child of God. And before you go to bed, no matter how rough the day was, you say, I'm a child of God. In closing, the devil knows who you are. When in talking about, is anything good that could come out? Rahab was a harlot who had a history. But when the spies came in and she worked with the spies to hide them, she told the spies, she says, the kingdom is fearful of you. We have heard what God did when you crossed the Red Sea. We have heard what God did when he defeated the enemies. We have heard what God did when he did this for you guys. So the people in this kingdom, they're fearful. The devil knows what God has done in your life. So when the devil says boo, you just say boo back. Let's all stand to our feet. As we get ready to turn the service back to the brother, can anything good come out? In this generation, I believe that there will be a bride. In this generation, I believe I am part of that bride. Do you believe that you're part of that bride? I told the church, not my church, I was visiting another church. I told another church, I said, I believe the rapture is going to happen by the end of this week. And they all looked at me with wide eyes. They thought I was starting a new religion. Because they were confused. I'm like, I believe the rapture is going to happen by the end of this week. And if it doesn't, I believe it's going to happen by the end of this month. And if it doesn't, I believe it's going to happen by the end of the year. And if it doesn't, I believe it's going to happen by the end of next year. Every day, I have an expectation that a rapture is going to happen. If it didn't happen today, it's going to happen tomorrow. If it doesn't happen tomorrow, I'm looking for it the next day. But I believe there will be a rapture. And I believe I'm going to be part of that. That should be your attitude. That every day you look forward to a body change. I'm tired of going to work. I'm tired of paying bills. I'm tired of getting notices in the mail. I'm not the only one. I'm just tired of this life. And so therefore, like Abraham, I'm looking for a city whose maker and builder is God. So I have something to look forward to. Every day when I get up, I look forward to a second coming. If all you look forward to is going to work and getting a paycheck, you're misunderstanding your purpose in life. If all you're looking for is to get that car, get that house, get whatever, you're missing what God has called you for. So I'll tell you like I told the other church, I believe before the end of this week, the rapture is going to happen. And when I'm back and the rapture hasn't happened, I'm going to say the same thing again. I believe by the end of this week, the rapture is going to happen. Your faith has to be so strong. The Bible says faith is that substance. It's not some mythical, some aspirational thing. The Bible says faith is that substance. You believe that? Let's bow our hearts as we turn it back to our brother. Lord Jesus, I gave up my heart this morning. Just taking the thoughts that you've put in me, dear Lord. My words may have failed to really express what you've shared with me, but I pray the inspiration of the Holy Spirit would have reached down into a heart, a soul, and that the word would have been meaningful to someone in this assembly. I believe in the reality of this word. And I know the world is falling apart as we see it daily, dear God. We read it in the papers. We hear it in the radio. Father, dear God, but we believe that you're bringing a bride together in the midst of a world that's falling apart. You're uniting us, dear Lord, with that word of truth. Keep us committed to this word that's called us, that's chosen us. You've created a path for us, dear Lord. Help us to maintain that path. We appreciate the love that you bestowed upon us, your grace and your mercy, dear Lord. We love you with all of our hearts. Keep us, dear Lord, until the appointed time when we can come back for another moment of fellowship. But in between those times, dear Lord, give us the strength and the ability by your grace to press on. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, amen. God bless you, saints.
Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord another hand clap of praise. Praise the Lord. How many appreciates the message? Amen. My God. Praise the Lord. There's so much that Brother Gene said. I mean, you can expound on so much. And we really do appreciate you, Brother Gene. God bless you. Amen. We want to keep Brother Gene, Brother Jack, all of the ministers in prayer. I mean, to see Brother Gene come up here and speak, you look at him in amazement sometimes, at different ministers, because you don't see their weakness. You see men standing anointed back here bringing the word of God to you, and you don't know what they're going through when they leave the doors. Satan fights them. Probably a little more harder than he fights us. So we have to lift them up in prayer at all times because they carry great burdens. I mean, they stand up here and they don't show weakness because they're leaders. If weakness came across this pulpit, then the congregation will get weak also. So they don't ever show what they're struggling with. And we really do appreciate you, Brother Gene. We know you go through a lot. We're praying for you. We love you, brother. Amen. We're grateful to have you here. God bless you. Amen. Let's sing this little song together. Have thine own way, Lord. Amen.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. Thou art the power.
me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yield it and still I surrender all to
to you I belong.
I give myself, I give myself to you.
Come on, my life is not my own.
My life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself, I give myself to you.
Come on, one more time. My life is not my own.
My life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself, I give myself to you. I surrender all to you. Everything I give to you, withholding nothing, withholding nothing,
withholding nothing,
withholding nothing, withholding nothing,
withholding nothing,
withholding nothing, withholding nothing, withholding nothing, no, withholding nothing.
Almighty God, Father, all that we are, Lord, we surrender to you. Realizing, Lord God, that you are the maker of our being, Lord. You are the very creator of our souls, Lord. Lord, you possess our lives, Lord God. Our lives are wrapped in your hands, and you are everything to us. Father, it's a privilege, Lord God, to surrender to you, Lord, because we know, Lord, all things work together for our good because we love you, Lord, and we are thee called according to your purpose. Lord, you have purpose for our lives, Lord God. It's to reflect you. It's to bring glory to your name, Lord God, and it's what we live for. Every aspect of our lives, Lord, is before you, Lord God, and you know our hearts, Lord. It's to do good by you, Lord, to bring glory to you, to praise you, to worship you in all that we do. When the peoples of the world, Lord, look at us, Lord, may they see Jesus, Lord. We want to reflect your life, Lord. Continue to mold us, shape us in the image of our Lord Jesus, Lord God. Oh, Father, when we look at ourselves, may we see Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, for your word, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that you have come to speak to us, Lord. You have spoken life to us, Lord. You have brought life through us, Lord. Use us, Lord, to be the light of the world, Lord God. In your absence, Lord, may we reflect you. Father, again, we thank you, Lord, for sending Brother Gene our way. We ask your blessings upon him. We ask that you keep him, strengthen him, Lord God, protect him. Lord, place that hedge about him, Lord God, and may he continue to do your work, Lord, blessing the people everywhere he goes. Grant traveling mercies to he and his lovely wife there. Keep them safe, Lord, and out of harm's way. Father, bring our pastor back safely, Lord God. As we prepare to leave this place, Lord God, may your presence continue to abide with us all. May your blessings rest upon your children. Use us for your great name's sake, Lord. We love you, we praise you, and we thank you. It's in Jesus Christ's precious and holy name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. God bless you, saints. You may have your seats. And our brothers will come and dismiss you in the name of the Lord.
I want to give my best to you. I want to do what you ask me to. I want to go wherever you say. Just say the word and I'll obey. I want to live a life that's real. I want to serve you, Lord, for real. For you deserve all this and more. I give you more, more. I give you more, more.
I want to give my best to you. I want to do what you ask me to. I want to go wherever you say. Just say the word and I'll obey. I want to live a life that's real. I want to serve you, Lord, for real. For you deserve all this and more. I give you more. I give you more. More. You're deserving of 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 more. I give you more. I give you more. I give you more, 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 I give you more.